Epiphany, and Happy Christmas, and Happy New Year.
Thank you, Everett, for that brief and wonderful introduction. It is indeed Epiphany, or it is the Sunday closest to Epiphany, and we are in the second Sunday of the Christmas season, and it is wonderful to have you all here. Vermont is looking like winter now, and we are very happy about that. Even shoveling is fun.
So far.
Talk to us in June, see if we're still feeling that way. Welcome, everyone, to worship. My name is Mitchell Hay. I'm the pastor of the Essex Center United Methodist Church.
And I'm Barb Lemel. I attended Essex Center United Methodist. I'm married to Mitch. I do a number of things. It's good to be with you all this morning.
Again, it is the second Sunday of Christmas. Christmas is not a day. Christmas is a season.
And it's actually the 10th day of Christmas.
It's the 10th day of Christmas.
It is.
And it goes until January 6th, which is Epiphany. So we still have our tree is up. And if yours is not, then the liturgical police will be coming to your house and giving you a fine or ticket or something. We continue to celebrate the birth of Christ, not only in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, but in our midst continually, the presence of God's love incarnated in you and in me. And we come to worship that love. We come to worship that God that we meet in Jesus. So welcome everyone to worship. If you have a bulletin from our Facebook page or sent to you via email, I invite you to join with me in the call to worship that is in that bulletin.
And I'll be reading the dark type.
We gather, wondering, where will we find the babe born in Bethlehem?
We will find the babe in the laughter of children, in the wisdom of grandparents.
We gather asking, where will we find the child of Christmas?
We'll find the child where the needy are gifted with hope, where the oppressed are set free.
We gather wanting to know, where will we find the Christ who has come for us?
We will find our hope where fear is overwhelmed by grace,
where hatred is overwhelmed by love,
where all people are overwhelmed by joy.
We invite you to be in a time of prayer, our opening to God time. If you could also read the bold type, and you and I can alternate.
Okay.
Let's pray. Taking a deep breath, filling our lungs with oxygen and our souls with the presence of God. And breathe out all that separates us from love. We have heard.
We have heard of your grace, shaper of stars.
From those set free from injustice, from our children who whisper of your joy, from greeters of dawn's fresh start, from late risers who listen to the stories of the needy.
We have heard.
We have heard of your light, bright star of the morning,
which can illumine the shadows of our lives, which can show the path to God's heart, which can point the way to where we become servants of the gospel.
We have heard.
We have heard of your peace, wisdom's radiance.
Peace which can end war as well as heal our hearts. Peace which can conquer our fears and flood us with faith. Peace which can enter our lives and overwhelm us with hope. Amen.
Amen.
Speaking of hope, our little community of faith has been making a special collection of hope for a wonderful group called Heifer Project International. And we have raised a good amount of funds to do some wonderful ministry. And Joanne is going to share with us what the good news is.
Good morning, everyone. I just wanted to give you our final update on Heifer. This week, we were able to send in a payment for $3,025 on the 31st. And believe it or not, the donations are still coming in. We'll send another check in a couple of weeks, but we needed to get this one in the mail because this amount was actually tripled. So I wanted to say thank you to everyone who donated and also to those who sent ideas on where the funds should be directed. Tried to make sure that everybody got something that was on their list. So here's how it broke down. We were able to send three Joy to the World gift baskets for $1,500 each. We were also able to send Water for Life. We sent three girls to school. We were also able to do three gardeners gift baskets, three dream gift baskets, three earth gift baskets, and three alpacas. So thank you to everyone. When we get the final total, we'll be sure to let you know.
Thank you, Joanne. That's wonderful.
Thanks so much. When we put out our newsletter next week, we'll get details about what all those baskets and projects mean. So you can see some of the wonderful differences that that's going to make. Our young people's message is taking a well-deserved break after all the Christmas season. We want to give such thanks to Danielle and all the Sturgeon family for the creativity and love they bring to that. But wanted to show you a Christmas sand painting that comes from the General Board of Higher Education and Ministry of the United Methodist Church. That's a big honking pile of words. But just relax to this lovely meditation on the Christmas story.
It's amazing what you can do with a light board and sand and some artistic expression. It's beautiful. So a reading about light this morning from Isaiah 60. Listen to our Hebrew Scriptures lesson. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and God's glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice.
Thank you, Isaiah. Thank you, Barb. Our gospel lesson is traditional for Epiphany. It's the story of the Magi following a star, and this is going to be read by Jenna.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, some magi, astrologer priests from the east, came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road."
Go ahead.
Thank you, Jenna. Thank you for that reading. Jesus was born into a pretty messed up world, filled with Herods and Caesars and occupying armies and just a lot of bad stuff. And having just lived through 2020, one can make the argument that things have not changed a whole lot in 2000 years. Humankind is still messed up when it comes to being in right relationship with God, with each other, with creation. Just reading the headlines over the last year has been an exercise in fatigue.
And we don't want to wear you out this morning, but we're going to go through a really quick list because there's something about us being messed up in our relationships with God and each other and creation that causes us to mess up all of those other things as well. So climate change this last year, hurricanes, fires, drought, suffering, especially among the poorest.
We saw human pride and human hubris and conspiracy theories and paranoia making it harder to deal with the problems we had, the real problems. COVID was infinitely harder to contain because somehow wearing a mask was politicized. And human pride even has placed presidential elections in our nation, which is the bedrock of our democracy, has turned that into an exercise of chaos.
And systemic injustice and violence, which are not at all new in 2020, but many of us are newly aware of it and turned out to protest, vowed to make change. And I think 2021 will show whether or not we really have the desire to heal that relationship that's so broken.
Watching as a person of faith this year, it was, I found it profoundly disturbing to see TV preachers and hyper-politicized church leaders make some flavors of Christianity identified with one political agenda, making Christianity identified with one favored race or one favored gender or one favored sexual orientation or one favored political party. one favored nation, one favored religion, that God's diversity is somehow suspect.
And that was really just a larger expression of just the general, anyone who doesn't look like me or believe like me or think like me must not be like me. Even though we're like in so, so many ways, we've siloed apart politically.
Right, but not only
socially,
just not like me, but different. But so it's not just different, but it's you're wrong if you think different.
Right.
You're an enemy if you're different.
And living with difference is always a challenge. And in 2020, we came to see how bad we are.
We are radically alienated from each other in 2020.
So like you all, we've been glad to put 2020 behind us. We're 3 days into 2021. hopes are that it will be better, but you know, nothing magically happened. When the Times Square ball came down in a mostly empty Times Square, that will magically make our world different.
Christianity, borrowing from Judaism, has realized this is the human reality. It's not just 2020. Yeah, it was rough. It was a hard year, but it was not existentially different from any other year that the human condition has been lived out. Human alienation and isolation and broken relationship have always been the core of our messed up human condition. It's how we are. Sin and evil lead to broken relationship, and broken relationship leads to sin and evil. However symbolically you might view the Garden of Eden story in Genesis 2 and 3, it represents something deeply true, which is that we as a species have lost something infinitely valuable. The very life-giving, cooperative, mutual relationships that we so crave, that we so all want in our deepest heart of hearts, the deep love that we crave for each other and for this creation that we call home, are the very relationships that we push away, that we scorn, that we commodify, that we destroy.
And if none of that sounds like very good news this morning, I think that even especially at the beginning of this year, part of our call is to remind ourselves what the good news is, which is that even though our messed up relationships, I believe, break God's heart, God has not given up on us since Genesis 2, right? God's got a plan. God's got a practice. I'm not saying God's got a plan in the sense that God has caused this. I mean that God's got a plan, and that God's ultimate plan is restoration, is putting it back together, is healing broken relationships. I often say that when I die, the first thing I'm going to say to God is, "What were you thinking?" Right? And I expect that God's response might be something like, "Well, I was thinking that you could be part of helping put it back together." Right. And I think that's what I believe God calls us to at this new year, as all through the year, is for us to be a part of God's restoring what's been broken, what's messed up.
I've had a number of conversations with Joshua in our congregation. He teaches Latin to high school students, and he has this wonderful observation that high school students and millennials as a whole, they seem to be more realistic, pessimistic about the human condition, more than their parents, who seem to be more nervous about saying, "Wow, we are really messed up." Young people don't seem to need to say, "Oh, I'm okay, you're okay." They realize I'm not okay and you're not okay, the world's not okay, and they're okay with that. because they're done pretending that things are better than they are, or that people are better than they are. Things are broken, people are broken. And here's the key, young people seem to recognize that it's time to get off our collective duff and start the healing and start the fixing. Judaism has a wonderful term, tikkun, which means to heal a broken earth. And I think young people seem to recognize that that really is our calling for 2021 and beyond.
And that's really the message that echoes all the way through scripture. We are all created in the image of God. And in that sense, we are all okay. Once you get a little bit past that though, I'm not okay, you're not okay. Nobody in scripture is okay with the exception of Jesus. And God will make it okay. The Bible is the story of God working with people who are far from perfect, starting with Adam and Eve, and somehow still continuing to bring life and liberty out of that. With God, we are deeply okay at our core, and we can make the parts that aren't okay more okay.
There's a fancy religious word for that called atonement, which is a word that has a lot of baggage, especially if you come out of the same religious tradition that I do. But what I love about the English word atonement is that it actually comes from the words at one meant. And that removes the baggage for me. That what atonement is about is becoming one again, becoming one once more in relationship with God, with one another, with ourselves, and with creation. And if there's, it's about bringing it all back together, that which has been torn apart.
And one of the reasons that I think sometimes folks have religious baggage around the issue of atonement is that at times Christianity has acted like the only moment of atonement was Jesus being on the cross. That sense of Jesus dying for our sins, that the whole point of God sending Jesus was to put him on a cross. Atonement is of course important, but it's not central and it's not the only moment. And so we want to make a pitch this morning to expand our sense of God becoming one with us beyond just the crucifixion and the resurrection.
Because here's the thing about the Christmas stories of Luke and in Matthew and in that wonderful philosophical prologue to John's gospel. It's not just the end of Jesus' story, the death and the resurrection, that is atoning. It's also in the beginning. For God so loved the world that God sent the Son. In the beginning was the Word.
And even Emmanuel, one of the names given to Jesus, is God with us, which is at one-ment. So his name, one of the names is literally about atonement.
So just the process of incarnation, the incarnation itself, God becoming human, divine word, divine love, becoming flesh, living among us, repairs the breach between us and God. If you grew up in a tradition that says that God has been angry with us since Genesis 2 and cannot stand to be in our presence because of the stench of human sin, the incarnation itself gives a lie to that.
Well, as does the rest of the scripture.
And does the rest, right?
Because Hebrew scripture too lets us know that God is heartbroken and sometimes angry, but God's work in the prophets, God's work in the Torah is to give folks an on-ramp to that becoming one with God again, to the healing of relationships, to making okay that which is not okay. And I remember, man, back when I was in high school reading in and Alive Now, that you could understand the Christmas story of as God, after all that work in the Hebrew scriptures, finally saying, okay, look, I'm done telling you, I'll just show you. Mm. And God just coming to be with us, coming as a baby, coming as one of us, coming to experience our humanness. It's mind-boggling, the lengths to which God will go to reconnect with us, to rejoin with us.
There was a song that was a jingle for a sweet little sitcom back in the late 90s, I think. And the song was, what if God was one of us? And whenever I heard that song, it's very nice. I like a lot of it, but I also said, God was one of us. It happened.
Well, and God is in us.
And right? God is one of us. In flesh, right. Continually. God becomes at one with us by becoming one of us. That's the amazing, mind-boggling aspect of the incarnation. Right. And it that at one minute wasn't just at the end. There's a blogger named U.M. Jeremy, United Methodist Jeremy.
Not our own Jeremy.
Not our Jeremy.
A different Jeremy.
He wrote this. We see that atonement does not have to be about death or suffering, but it can be about the reconciliation of the relationship between God and humanity. Atonement means turning humanity toward their original selves created in the image of God, as Barb said earlier. And Jesus was doing that long before he was on a cross.
Or to put it another way, one of our district superintendents, Wei Chang, wrote in a prayer that we'll share with you later this morning, we've never seen God's face, but at Christmas, we come to know God's heart. So yeah, none of us know what God looks like, though we make images of what we think it might be. But there's something about God's heart which resonates in our heart, and that atonement, that at-one-ment is what Christmas is all about. It's God becoming human. It's God choosing how to become human, to become a human born to ordinary parents, born in poverty, came to live as a healer and as a teacher, as a way of saying, I'll show you how to live a holy life. Mm. God chooses to become that kind of human. And God chooses to become that kind of human to tell us that we too can make that choice in our lives.
Remember how I said we were invited to have a part in this whole atonement thing? We have that throughout the Christmas stories, human beings being part of the atonement story. We see it in Mary's yes to the angel Gabriel. Mm-hmm. We see it in Joseph's yes to his God-filled dreams. We see it with the Magi saying yes to the arduous journey of following a star. To the shepherds, yes, to the angels, good news. And we, in this new year, this 2021, we can say yes to what God is doing around us and within us. We can say yes to God's process of atonement, God's continuing presence and incarnation and reconciliation in the world.
And if this sounds like kind of a sneaky back way of talking about what your New Year's resolutions could be.
It is.
I guess maybe it is. So maybe one of our resolutions is that we say yes to being part of God putting the world back together. We want to be sure to say that it's not just about what we're doing. That the yes that we say is not just, or that I say is not just to what I do, my fierce determination to be holier or something this year.
Or for me to lose 25 pounds.
Yeah, whatever. But that the resolution is not just about what we choose, but it's also about what God chooses. And our dear friend, Steve Garnes Holmes, talks about having a resolution that's not just about what we do, but how we pay attention to what God is doing. So hear this brief poem from Steve, this prayer. He prays, Holy One, for the new year, instead of resolving to do something, I resolve to be aware of what you are doing in me. As diligently as the Magi followed the star, I attend to your grace in me, that I may be continually made new. So in this new year, we attend not only to who we are and what we do and how we be in the world, we also attend to what God is always doing and being and creating and renewing and healing within us. Which this time of year brings me to the Wesley Covenant Prayer. John Wesley, as the founder of United Methodism, though he didn't call himself that, wrote a prayer for his followers, the people of his movement to share either at midnight on New Year's Day or the first Sunday after the new year. And it was a way of saying in the new year, God, I give myself to you freely, no matter what it is you want to do, no matter what it is you have for me this year. And we'll share that prayer with us, but it famously says, you know, let me be lifted up or set aside. Let me be high, let me be low. And I can remember saying that with great enthusiasm for years and years. I will say that it reads differently when we have been brought low. Mm-hmm. But even then, it's maybe a good corrective for us. And so we're going to invite you to share in the Wesley Covenant Prayer with us.
So that prayer is in your bulletin, if you have that, and it will be on some slides that are there right now. But we're going to share the prayer that comes before this, before the words that you will share, Wesley's introduction to the covenant itself.
And when we get to this covenant prayer, we will read the prayer that you see in front of you in unison, and we invite you to do the same at home.
Wesley wrote a bunch of years ago, "Let us gathered here before the Lord, now in covenant, commit ourselves to Christ as his servants. Let us give ourselves to him so that we may fully belong to him. Jesus Christ has left us with many services to be done." Amen. Some of these services are easy and honorable, but some are difficult and disrespected. Some line up with our desires and interests. Others are contrary to both. In some, we please both Christ and ourselves, but then there are other works where we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves.
So Jesus Christ, we offer you this prayer. Let us be your servants. Let us follow your commands. We will no longer follow our own desires. We give ourselves completely to your will. The power and strength to live as true servants is given to us in Christ. We accept the place and work that he gives us, acknowledging that he alone will be our reward. And let's say in unison,
I am no longer my own, but yours. Use me as you choose. Rank me alongside whomever you choose.
Put me to doing, put me to suffering.
Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, raised up for you or brought down low for you.
Let me be full,
let me be empty.
Let me have all things, let me have nothing.
With my whole heart, I freely choose to yield all things to your ordering and approval.
So now, God of glory, Source, Son, and Spirit, you are mine, and I am your own. So be it.
Amen.
Welcome to the new year, our friends. Welcome to all that God has for you, all that God will make of you, to your part in that, to everyone's part in that, and to God's part in that. Wesley instructed that when we participate in a covenant prayer, that it's also followed by communion, by sharing the Lord's Supper together. And so we'll have some music from Catherine and then our pastoral prayer, and then we'll move into communion. But we invite you to go and get some communion elements if need be during this next interlude. And also, if you have prayer concerns, to go ahead and put those in the comments on the Facebook page.
So enjoy this piece from Catherine. Thank you, Catherine. In your bulletin is a prayer by Wei Chang, who's a district superintendent in the Boston area. It's long and very meaningful, and we invite you to use that prayer as a model this week. I'm going to share a shorter spontaneous prayer, I guess, as we gather for prayer on this first Sunday of the year. And we'll share the prayers that you lift up in the bulletin. I'm sorry, on the comment section on the side of your Facebook page. Let us pray. O loving God, on this day where we in Vermont enjoy the light snow falling from the skies and hanging onto branches and covering everything with a blanket of pure snow, we give thanks that your grace is so much like that and your presence is so like that. Your atonement, your repairing the breach, you're bringing wholeness and healing, is also surrounding us, covering us, filling us with love. Help us this 2021 discover the image of God inside each one of us, inside of ourselves, and also inside of those who aren't us and those who we don't consider part of our tribe. May we discover the image of God in each one, in everyone. And let us be aware of what you are doing within us, healing us so that we can be working with you to heal others and this whole creation. We pray that in the strong name of Jesus, who came to us as the weakest of creatures, a human infant. We lift up prayers with Liz, who asks for prayers of strength and healing for her friend Ree, who's battling colon cancer. She's back in the hospital alone due to COVID with a deep abscess after her colostomy reversal, and is feeling like she just can't go on. We pray with Dwayne for Mike Clark and Christine Elliott. We lift up prayers for Paige's daughters as they fight their own health battles. With Donna, we give thanks for all who have contributed to Aunt Dot's. We'll be sending a check for over $2,000 for their ministry. With Stacy, prayers for the process of distribution of vaccines. With John, we lift up prayers for happy birthday to their grandson, Anthony, who is 21 today. With Paige, prayers that she can find her way back to God and open herself up to knowing that God is finding God's way to her. With Sandy, prayers for her BFF Cookie in Connecticut, who was just diagnosed with COVID. With Brooke, prayers of gratitude for her small church family flock and for her flock's shepherd, Shelley, or her small group. For the small groups, her shepherd, Sally Jablonski. She's been a light on her journey. We also want to lift up prayers for Ashley Hudson, who had emergency surgery this week to remove a spinal tumor and will face more treatments. Prayers for the Latimer family, the Hazazi family, for Gisela, for all those who have supported Emily and Sally and Alyssa. We pray all this, remembering the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
So you want to do communion? Communion? Yep.
So John Wesley encouraged the small groups that call themselves Methodists to have communion following the covenant service. And we do that here. All of Jesus' life, from his coming into Mary's womb, to his birth, his childhood, his baptism, his teaching, his healing, his loving, his reaching beyond the walls, and yes, his tearful moment in the garden, his betrayal, his crucifixion, his death, his resurrection, all were a part of atonement, of healing the breaks of relationship between us and ourselves, us and each other, us and creation, us and God. And one night that brought all those parts of Jesus' life together happened in an upper room where Jesus gathered with friends. One of the things that I brought up a couple years ago in a sermon is that the inn where Jesus was born is the word ketaluma. It's also the same word for the upper room where Jesus gathered with his disciples. His life began in the ketaluma. His life moved toward ending in a ketaluma. In both places, surrounded by those who love him and whom he loved. And I hope wherever you are is a place where you find love as well. We remember in that ketaluma at the end of his life. Jesus took bread and cup.
Don't bring yourself.
I shan't. He took bread and blessed it, gave thanks, and said to his disciples, "This is my body, which is broken for you. do this as often as you eat in remembrance of me.
And he took a cup and blessed it. And as he gave it to them, he said, "This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink, remember me. Be one, be at one with me." And so we invite the Holy Spirit to be in these gifts of bread and cup, and in the gift of bread and cup, wherever you are who are part of this service. Make this be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be the body of Christ to the world, broken and poured out, at one with him, at one with ourselves, at one with each other. In his name, amen.
Amen. How is it that in bread broken, we discover wholeness?
So we invite you to partake of communion wherever you are and with whomever you are right now.
Broken body of Christ.
Amen.
And the shed blood of Christ poured out for you.
Yeah. The body of Christ for you, and the blood of Christ, the cup of life.
We pray that you may use this whole day to give thanks for God refreshing us at this table, that you may see the signs of at-one-ment all around you, and especially what God is doing in you, that you might discover the image of God within you, so that you might get a template of how to see the image of God in another, and in so doing, giving a yes to God's plan for atonement and healing a broken world. Amen. We have some announcements, actually not a whole lot. We have our Bible study on Monday night. We are continuing in Luke's gospel. Next Sunday is Baptism of the Lord Sunday. And we will be in our Bible study reading about Jesus' baptism and early ministry. I invite you to read chapters 3 to 9 in Luke's gospel, and then our Bible project study guide online is listed here, and the Zoom link for gathering on Monday night. We have birthdays this week for Claire Noble's birthday is today. Sherry Marcoux's birthday is on the 7th and Marlene's on the 10th. So happy birthday, y'all.
Happy birthday, Claire.
Thank you for being with us this hour. We will send you out with a benediction and postlude music by Catherine, the Friendly Beasts. So have a blessed rest of your day. And here are the words of this benediction. The earth gave you a cave.
The skies gave you a star.
The angels gave you a song.
At this feast, we give you our love.
The love that Mary gave her son.
May we give that to the world.
The love that you give us through your son.
May we give that back to you. May Amen. That be true for all of us. Go in grace and in peace into the new year with God, who is Creator, and Christ and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Merry Christmas, y'all.